She steps a lady, all clothed in white, surrounded by rainbow-colored light. The sweetest smile she wears across her face, as she beholds the one in whom she has found grace. And what joy now fills her lover's heart, as he beholds his lovely bride at last. And with joy will the angels sing, what adoration from the seraphim. Objections consider, all hollering will cease. All other women now have to hold their peace. He whispered to her in a language unknown, and now the beauty of his bride would be shown. And what joy now fills a lover's heart, as he beholds his lovely bride at last. And with joy will the angels say, what from the seraphim. Oh, the mystery that it too has now become one. The victory of all ages is finally won. She's flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, they are the same. United, they'll stand under that special name. And what joy now fills a lover's heart, as he beholds his lovely bride at last. And with joy will the angels say, what adoration from the seraphim. Takes his wife by the hand and leads her on to that promised land. Humble woman, he has chosen for a soul. We'll sit with him as queen upon his throne. And what joy now fills a lover's heart, as he beholds his lovely bride at last. And with joy will the angels sing, heart's adoration from the seraphim. There's a silence in which I hear you speak to me. There's a quiet time when I hear you say to me. Know this, if there be no one else who loves you, you can depend on me. Tell you I love you then, and I love you now, and I'll always love you. In those quiet times, I can hear you say your prayer. Sometimes it seems that you would hold me in your arms, saying I love you,
I love you,
I love you. With an undying love, a never-ending love that will never die.
Hope in the Lord, for He will never
forsake. Tell you I love you then, and I love you now, and I'll always love you.
Amen. We certainly want to greet everyone this evening. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we want you to feel welcome in the house of God. And we're certainly happy to be gathered here to witness this marriage ceremony, knowing that it's a small wedding and each person, I believe, was specially selected and invited to be here because the bridegroom and the bride feel a special love for you, that they thought of you and they want you to be here to witness this evening. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes with a prayer. We invite our precious Lord Jesus, the one who have drawn them together, who have caused their heart to beat in love one for the other. We just want him to have his wonderful way in our midst this evening. This could be a memorable evening for each and every one of us, and especially for our brother Winston and our sister Doreen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you this evening, Lord, to be gathered together in your divine presence. This time, Lord, of a celebration of love. Lord, when two souls that you have joined together, Lord, could stand here in your divine presence, Lord, and vow their love to each other before your holy presence, your holy angels, and all the witnesses that are gathered here this evening. This would be special. It would be a memorable time for each of us. And knowing, dear God, what Brother Winston and Sister Doreen means to us. And Lord, what this time means for them. How we pray that your Holy Spirit will bless everything that will be said and done. That hearts would be inspired this evening, Lord, to truly live for you. Even us as witnesses who are gathered here. Some, Lord, who have already been married. And some who maybe are thinking of entering into this. Just ask that your Holy Spirit come so close now. We touch each and every one that is gathered here this evening. The Lord, when we leave this place, we'd be so thankful to know that you is here. That same divine presence that was there when the first marriage ceremony took place, way back in the gathering, in the beginning of the Bible. And Lord, is recorded in the scriptures that you were. Another wedding ceremony in Canaan, Galilee, in the middle of the Bible. Here, Lord, we are living in the end time. At the end of the Bible, we just pray you'd come one more time. And Lord, we would see something that you would do that would cause us to recognize it is you in our midst. Granted, Father. Bless each and every one that is gathered here. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name and for your sake. Amen. We want to apologize for beginning a little late. It's not normally our practice to do that, but I believe, you know, it's really worth it all when we saw them two little girls walking there. And they're walking so stately, so nice. It just seemed like something was just moving them like they, you know, to me it's the best I've ever seen. Amen. I think maybe it's really worth the while waiting. Well, we're not going to keep it too long. We just want to just get your attention for the next few moments. I'd like to read a little portion of scripture in the book of Genesis, chapter 24. It reads like this. And he made his camels to kneel down outside the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel of whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher. I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. And I will give thy camels drink also. Let her be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. One more place in verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. It's a very old story in the Bible. And I guess those of us who are acquainted with this great love story of Isaac and Rebekah, how the meeting came about, as is depicted here in the scripture, and how we know that these things was an example for each and every one of us. And yet it holds something far greater, because it speaks of a great event that we are all anticipating. To some of us is already a reality taking place. To some, maybe this evening, by the grace of God, it could dawn upon you. You can realize that when we come to weddings like this, maybe everyone here have been to a wedding before at some time in their life. And maybe all of us here have been a product because of a union of a wedding that took place. When our father and our mother came together in holy wedlock and was responsible for us being here. But this story in the Bible, it shows us that how God works in the life of his children. That he appoints the bride for his sons. You know, if we had time this evening to maybe preach a message, which we wouldn't go into that, but to take the experience of our brother Winston and sister Doreen, they've been here in the assembly for some years. Our sister Doreen coming a little recent, but brother Winston been here for quite some years. But seeing the way that God moved in their hearts and moved in their lives, and this wedding this evening is a result of the working of Almighty God. And just like when the testimony was given in the Bible, we read a little portion of it here. When the one who had prayed the prayer, Eliezer, a servant, who was sent out by a commission to get a bride for Abraham's son, which was common in those days, it was a custom. And he being under the burden of this great responsibility to select the right bride. And knowing that what his master's son was and who his master was. And he was instructed carefully as to where he should choose from. And knowing the great status of his master and his son who was heir to all that his master had. He stood there by a well one evening and he prayed. And the prayer was so notable because it became part of the scriptures. What he prayed and how the prayer was answered was recorded and became part of the holy scriptures. And no doubt it had been spoken for so many weddings. And here again this evening, this event that took place so many thousands of years ago is still being spoken of. But you know, when he prayed this prayer and he saw how God fulfilled it, because he was praying with faith, he was praying with a burden upon his heart, he was praying knowing that he had the assurance that the God his master served was going to watch over his journey, over his mission. And we find out that when the time came, and he saw how the miraculous hand of God moved in the scene so quickly. Because by the time he finished praying, he began to see the evidence of what he had prayed for. And not only that, he was so inspired, he was so elated by seeing what he was asking for, the way he asked for it to happen. You know, sometimes you want to be certain something is God, and I believe, you know, anybody entering into marriage today have to really consider it prayerfully, and they really, if they're asking of God, they want to be precise, and they want to ask in a way that when God answers, they'll be certain it is God responding to what they're asking God for, and it would not be them running off the desire, but it would be God meeting the request that they place before him. And the servant was so inspired, he didn't want to wait no more. He wanted to take the bride and go on his way, take her back to his master. But he had to first meet with the parents. And he began to speak to the parents and begin to give testimony of how he had prayed and what he had prayed and the way the prayer was answered. And these people, they were conscious of God and the way God worked. It wasn't like this modern civilization today where, you know, everything goes according to the modern trend. That when he stated the way that he prayed and the way God answered, the parents had to acknowledge, this is, the thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak bad about it because what you stated here, the girl herself is our witness. She says exactly the way it happened. We recognize you're saying the truth. And for you to come into this city, traveling hundreds of miles, stand by this well and pray such a prayer at a time when so many young girls come in to draw water. Because he had prayed, let it be the first one who comes to draw water from the well. Ask of him that she could draw some water of him and face camels. And this little situation we are paralleling this portion of scripture, this experience, the way God worked yesterday. And believing that we are Abraham's seed. The Bible says we are believers in Christ. Serving the same God of Abraham, which is the God of the Bible. And one of the things we are taught about God in the Bible is that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. But we can have confidence that if he did something upon a certain basis yesterday, and we approach him in the same manner upon the same basis, he's obligated to work with anyone coming in that way today, because what he did the first time, it was right when he did it. And seeing that the God of the Bible is an infinite God, and he cannot add to his knowledge, he cannot learn anything, he knows all things, you don't have to improvise on what he does. When he does something the first time, it's perfect to begin with. And then the scripture was given to us for an example. And I believe that that is the most secure method, the channel that we could work through and have great expectation that if God is the same, if his word is true, he will hear an answer. And no doubt, coming down to a time like this, but for instance, it's Doreen, you know, they little older on in life, and you know, God called people at different ages. God does things in people's life at different ages. And, you know, this is what makes this even more unusual. That God does it in a way that we have to acknowledge the thing proceeded from the Lord. Because we are people who look at God, how he works, and compares with the Bible to make sure what we call in God has already happened in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the very Isaac who is married here, he is married at the age of 40 years when he got his bride. So, you know, some get married young and some get married a little older on in life. But, you know, when you look at it, it's God keeping the person until the right person come along. Because he appoints the bride for his sons. And he's thinking beyond of just a, you know, maybe just companionship on the physical side. He's looking a little deeper than that. Because his love and the things that comes forth from God is beyond natural, because God is supernatural. And they have seen God in many ways as a provider, as a healer, as a savior, already knowing the pardon of the sins and living a Christian life, a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it comes down in a person's place and time in life when they would even have to seek God about providing the right companion for them. And living in an age where about 9 out of 10 marriages end up in divorce courts, then it would take faith to really approach God, because the marriages end up in divorce courts, they come to the church most of the times. And since they come to the church, you know, everything that comes to the church is not really of God. Because if it's of God, then it would stand a test on the outside. So we realize that when it end up in divorce courts, it really come from God, because the Bible shows us your vow is until death. Amen. Till death do us part. And seeing here the examples that God gives us in the Bible, you know, we should take a pattern from, was always those who had lived true to the mate until death. As a matter of fact, even God typing the life of the believer with an eagle or with a dove. In the Bible, many times, you know, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove, and God is an eagle also, and his offspring is like unto a dove or an eagle. And you know something, that a dove is made for life? You know an eagle is made for life? Sure. And you know, maybe that might be not the popular opinion today, but it's the Bible truth. And knowing that the marriage is really to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ and his church, because as Paul says, it's a great mystery concerning Christ and the church, then how it gives us a great consolation, especially when we have people that are close to us, friends, relatives, brothers and sisters in Christ, which they are to each and every one of us in some way or the other. Either they're your friend and you've come to the wedding this evening, either they're a close relative to you, or either they're your brother and sister in Christ. And what you have come to attend a wedding, just the thought of it, that they have selected you to be here. They know many people, but when they had to scale it down, they had to think of those who mean something to them in their life, in their journey on this earth. Someone they had come to know, someone by some experience, someone in some time of their life that they come across, some workmate, some person in the neighborhood, some family that stood with them down through the times, and they have selected you to be here. And because of this consideration, no doubt you yourself have a special love in your heart for them, that you desire to see that what is happening here this evening grow from strength to strength. Now, whenever you see them, or whenever you meet them, or whenever you would visit their home, there'll all be the warmth of that Christian love. There'll all be the beauty of that relationship. Christ, the center of their lives. That you could know that they took the vow sacredly. They took it meaningfully. And that you can recognize this Christ in their lives that has caused them to walk that way and stand that way and live that way. That you could consider their lives to be a pattern, to be an example, to be an influence. And when you would speak about marriage and what it means, and you would look for a couple that you think would reflect what a true marriage relationship is, they would be one of the first ones that would come to mind because of the way that they would walk and that they would live with one another. It's a rare species, it's a rare thing in the world today to see a husband and a wife getting closer to each other as each day passes by. To see a wife becoming more and more submissive. God's servant and prophet is the, you know, who God gave a wife and who God blessed that marriage. And usually the example in this age expressed one time when he says, you know, his wife was becoming a little old and she was becoming a little wrinkled. And in the modern age, everybody, you know, trying to keep the beauty and keep looking young and these things. And she became so worried and she would say, you know, they're, you know, becoming so wrinkled and, you know, I don't like I used to. And he would say, honey, he says, you become older and your face become more wrinkled. He said, my eyes are becoming dimmer.
He said, I remember you the way you was when I first met you. And I believe that was a something real and genuine. That many times you would hear him say when he come to a wedding, you see a man is not trusting in the beauty of his wife, but he's trusting in the loyalty of a vow. I believe that's how it is here this evening. They're trusting in the loyalty of the vow that they come here before these witnesses to take sacredly and meaningfully before our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing what it means, and knowing that the same way the God who died on the cross and bled and was wounded for the transgression, bruised for the iniquities, same God who reveals the love to them to change their heart from a sinner and make them into a saint, is the same God at this stage of their life who has come to provide a mate that he knows in these dark and trying times there's going to be encouragement in their life to keep them pressing on until Jesus comes. And I'm very thankful this evening because in my heart what I say here, I mean it and I believe it, knowing them. It was a strange thing. When they fell in love, when they just begin to be so serious about one another and begin to make plans, I and many of the other brothers who would be exposed to them a little bit, you would see the childishness, like two little teenagers. You know, it was like a new birth. And you know, looking at the after that scientific mind, you may kind of think, like, what's the matter with these people at all? But you know, looking at it, when God does something, it means something for you. And in their heart, they alone know the nights and the days that they went through. And so during the Lord say, you know, I always, you know, want somebody to care for me. Amen. Who'd be a real husband, like a real brother to me, a real father to me, a real, you know, a real mate to me. And Brother Vine, all these years, he been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Amen. You know, it's a wonderful happening this evening. It's an atmosphere of love. It's a time of celebration. Amen. It's a time of joy and gladness. Amen. And we are certainly happy for them. And they, you know, have used this substance for a little they have to prepare a nice reception, a little time of celebration and feasting. We could be gathered there together with them, and you know, the few other speeches that maybe said, don't get the reception, all these things. We're certainly looking forward to it. And you know, every experience is different, every wedding is different. You know, each couple is different. And you know, they had something, just a drop in their heart, I guess it came with the experience. You know, that they wanted to say this little poem, you know, to each other before they take the vows to express, you know, something in their heart. It's just a way of they expressing, you know, the birds do one thing, the horses do something else. In all God's creation, when he's doing each male and female begin to mate, they have their own expression. They have their own way, and I believe, you know, that's the way it is. You know, when you really see love being expressed, it's really Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. The way you've dealt with them, and this time we just want to get ready to just change a little order of the service here. We'd like to invite you all to stand at this time. I think that'll be appropriate. Like a little portion of scripture. In Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it. He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church and having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Who will I ask for this woman to be bride to this man? I guess at this point we just want to take the place at the same time. And we
they have this little poem.
Love is much more than a tender kind, and more than bright hours of gay happiness. For a lasting love is made up of sharing both hours that are joyous and also despairing. It's made up of patience and deep understanding, and never of selfish and stubborn demanding. It's made up of climbing the steep hill together and facing with courage life's stormiest weather.
And nothing on earth or in heaven can part a love that has grown to be part of the heart. And just like the sun and the stars and the sea, this love will go on through eternity. For true love lives on when earthly things die, for it's part of the spirit that soars to the sky.
Amen. I think that's very lovely. Dearly beloved, we've gathered here in the face of this company, in the presence of God, to join together in holy matrimony this man and this woman, which is honorable as declared by St. Paul among all men. It is therefore not by any to be entered into unadvisably or lightly, but reverently, discreetfully, advisably, soberly, and in the fear of God. Into this holy state, these two persons present are now to be joined. If there is anyone here that can show a just cause why they should not be lawfully joined in this holy matrimony, let them now speak or forever hold their peace. I will require and will charge you both, you will surely answer the day of judgment when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed. But if either of you know any impediment why you should not be lawfully joined together in this holy matrimony, do you now confess it? For be it assured unto you that any persons that are joined otherwise than God would does allow, their marriage is not lawful. But believing that you have duly considered this solemn obligation that you are about to assume, you are prepared to enter upon the same reverently, discreetly, wisely, and in the fear of God, I shall propose to you the marriage covenant. You will declare the same as you join your right hands. Will you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife, to live together in this holy state of matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, and cherish in sickness and health, riches or poverty, and will forsake all others, and cleave thee only unto her as long as you both live?
I do.
Will you take this man to be a lawful wedded husband, to live together in this holy matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, cherish, in sickness and health, riches or poverty, and will forsake all others, and cleave thee only unto him as long as you both live?
I do.
I will require a token that this covenant between you that's been made will always be kept. You know, the ring is really a seal of the covenant between them, what they have vowed. It's also a memorial that as a woman would wear it, it shows that she belongs to some man. She has taken his name. She's been joined to him. She now belongs to him. She now wears not only his ring, but his name also. So this time, may you join your right hands again. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes with a prayer. Our gracious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you for your great divine presence. Lord, that is here this evening to confirm what you've started in the life of our brother Winston and our sister Doreen, bringing them together, Lord, to that first climax where they were betrothed. Now here in this second climax where they've come and been married here this evening in this ceremony before all these witnesses. What is being done, Lord, we know can never be undone. Because your words are recorded in heaven and it's gone into eternity. But Lord, knowing that the love that you have shed abroad in their hearts and the Christian testimony that they hold, the character of the lives that we have seen displayed, we know it is from the depths of sincerity. It is with great sacredness, with great meaning, that they have made these vows here this evening, even in the presence of these witnesses, even in the presence of your holy angels. Almighty God, I pray your great divine blessing upon them, Father. May your great divine love so fill their hearts even now. May, Lord, their hearts be so knitted as one. Lord, as they would go forth to establish their home and to raise a family for the glory of God, your Holy Spirit would be in their lives every step of the way, leading them, blessing them, Lord, working out everything that would bring glory to your great name. Seeing that we are living in a time, Father, Lord, divorce courts overrun with broken marriages. So many homes being broken and children growing up to become delinquents. Going out into the street. But Lord, may it never be so with them. May the great Holy Spirit, who is more than able, even the Apostle Paul said, what shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Shall famine or pestilence or persecution or tribulation, all things present or things past, all things to come, neither height nor depth, nor length nor breadth, nor principalities, nor powers, nothing shall ever be able to separate them from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Let that love be so real in their hearts, Father. They would live one for the other. Lord God, they would show forth the clear reflection of this great mystery of Christ in the church. The lives, oh God, would leave such footprints that every marriage couple, oh God, could look and walk in, Father. Footprints, Lord, clearly showing forth this great love that God placed in the heart of Abram and Sarah, in the heart of Boaz and Ruth, Isaac and Rebekah, all through the Bible, where you gave us, Lord, these for examples. May that same love now beat in their hearts. And Father, may they be so happy. May their home be filled with joy and peace and contentment, prosperity, fruitfulness. Oh God, may they be lacking in nothing. May you bless them in every way, Father. We pray and we ask this in the precious, almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, you are the author and the finisher. You who begin this work will perform it even until that day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, we pray and we ask this. Amen. God bless you. You're married. Now by the power of my commission given to me by Almighty God to be his servant and minister unto me by the Holy Spirit, I pronounce you man and wife, husband and wife, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have a seat. This time we just want to get him to sign the marriage certificates here. just want to have a word of prayer to dismiss. We certainly enjoy having you here with us. As you're about to leave, just let us ask God's God blessing upon each and every one as we would get ready to make our way down to Harvard. Oh, gracious Father, how grateful we are for your divine presence, for your great, holy, magnificent blessings that you could pronounce upon your children. Children that love you, fear you, and Lord, walking in your path. As this bridegroom and bride would leave this place, walking out of our eyesight, what a thing it speaks for us, Lord, that one day the chiefest of all bridegrooms would come, would take his bride away, away from the sight of this world, to go with you to a great wedding supper in the sky. Our hearts beat high with joy and anticipation for that day when it would come, Father. Until then, may you keep us faithful, keep us true always. If there be any here this evening that is not a Christian, Lord, that don't have that hope in their hearts, may you touch them and make it real to them, we pray. Bless each and every one. Take us safely from this place as we go, asking divine blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. We are dismissed. As our brother would sing while they would go out.
Yesterday I wandered far away. Now today I'm in your arms to stay. Tomorrow I'll be satisfied as long as I feast with you eternally. It brings a joy to know that someone loves me. It brings a peace to know that someone cares. Someone willing to share my whole life with me, that will be with me until the very end. For in this world I've been despised and rejected, no one to call my own. But with your love, I know that I could live again. Only you understand. For yesterday, I wandered far away. Now today, I'm in your arms to stay. Tomorrow I'll be satisfied as long as I feast with you eternally. A love like this is really hard to find. A love so pure and true, it calms your mind. Love that took away all my shame. Oh, how could I ever be the same? You took my sins and you nailed it to a tree. Oh, Lord, you came and set us free. Now we are a chosen vessel to bear your name. How could we ever be the same? Yesterday I wandered far away. Now today I'm in your arms to stay. Tomorrow I'll be satisfied as long as I feast with you eternally. Yesterday I wandered far away. Now today I'm in your arms to stay. Tomorrow I'll be satisfied as long as I feast with you eternally.